This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Sheffield United Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. The next 30 minutes, it is Sheffield United, and Sheffield United only talking everything where the Blades are concerned. And you can have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. But I'm honest, I have to be honest, this is one of the fan shows that I look forward to. Gutted that I missed it last week, because I get to spend half an hour with this man, and I'm delighted to do so. It is James Shield from the Sheffield Star. He is the Sheffield United Fan Show. Lots for us to tuck in, James. So good to be chatting to you once more. Sheffield United on the weekend should have had all 3 points. I'm going to say it, James. You don't have to. They were robbed.
Yeah, you've said it for me. It's good to have you back, by the way.
Cheers, mate. Appreciate you.
Yeah, it's a much more pleasant feeling than sitting through 3 minutes or nearly 4 minutes of VAR, I have to say. But we'll get onto that in a minute, I'm sure. But
yeah,
absolutely. You know, on the face of it, another good result for Sheffield United. Keeps that unbeaten run away from home going with the draw against Spurs. But as you quite rightly said, it could, and I think probably should, had it not been for sort of events in the video analysis suite at Stockley Park, being 2 more points. I think they should have got all 3.
Yeah, James, it's crazy, isn't it? It's incredible. We're talking about here almost being disappointed getting a point away to Spurs, the European Cup finalists, you know, one of the top teams, being disappointed with one, getting 3. But such is the brilliance of Sheffield United this season and in that game, you know, disappointing to not get the full 3 points, James.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, you know, I mean, it was almost a textbook away performance. But I'll tell you what, I might just be a little bit sort of controversial here and say that despite the sort of the controversy and, you know, let's be absolutely frank, the absolute farce that that match descended into over the VAR call to disallow David McGoldrick's goal. Do you know what? I just wonder if in a month or so's time, I just think Sheffield United may well have gone on to win that game anyway, because we've spoken about that sort of that self-belief and sort of, you know, the importance of really believing in what they can do in the Premier League. And I think that's definitely gone through the roof in recent weeks. I think that result against Arsenal, followed up by another good draw away from home at West Ham, really sort of accelerated that process. But I'm still not so sure that some of the players quite realise just what a good team they can be on their day. And there were just little periods in the game where, you know, they were really on top. And I just think with a little bit more sort of experience under their belts and a little bit more time in the Premier League, I just wonder if they may well have just taken advantage of that anyway. But, you know, that's in a sense is a complete aside. As far as I'm concerned, and dare I say, even the most ardent of Spurs fans, I think as far as I'm concerned, Sheffield United scored 2 absolutely legitimate goals in that game, and Tottenham Hotspur scored 1.
Yeah, obviously, James, we had a good bit of fun when Sheffield United did beat Arsenal, and you give me a little bit of stick. I was hoping for you to do us another favour, beat our noisy North London neighbours. Wasn't to be. But we're going to get into VAR, James, because it was such a big talking point from the weekend. But I'll be honest, James, one of the things that annoyed me about VAR, this is the headline now. This is the thing that we're talking about. And I think it's actually detracting from the performance that Sheffield United put in on the weekend. It was absolutely brilliant. This is a team that still has not lost away from home in the Premier League. They've just been promoted. And it was so disappointing, not from a Sheffield United fan sense, but in a game where they had the chances, you knew Spurs were going to get their chance. And it wasn't what they deserved. They go 1-0 up, and it was Sheffield United who should have taken the lead. And it's almost typical, wasn't it? And the game was not going that way, was it?
No, absolutely right. And do you know what? One of the things that I thought was so disappointing about that, and, you know, Chris Wilder, he made the point afterwards, exactly the one you've just made, Charlie, that, you know, it's so disappointing that we're talking about this rather than the performance of my players, he said. But, of course, you know, after a call like that, and one at such a such a crucial period of the game, and also one that could have had such a huge effect on the game as well, because, you know, we weren't talking about one team running away with it on the score sheet at that point. It was impossible not to. You know, you had to sort of talk about that after the game. And that's exactly what Chris Wilder spent, dare I say, probably about 90% of his post-match press conference doing. But, you know, one of the things that it just really frustrates the hell out of me, because we've mentioned this before, that, you know, I think what's happening now is we've just added another layer of complexity to something, you know, to a set of laws that really are just, you know, really should be very simple, and are very simple. And the things that the likes of you and I and supporters now are spending so much time talking about are things that on Saturday happened 23 miles away in Stockley Park rather than inside the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And I just think that's a ridiculous situation to be in. But there's other things that really annoyed me about that as well. And, you know, you can go into the actual sort of nitty-gritty of it. John Lundstrom was the player who was adjudged to be offside before David McGoldrick put the ball in the back of the net. You know, you can talk about was that in the right phase of play? Should they have gone so far back in the move? You know, people will have different opinions on that. You know, and you can talk about, even when we watch this happen in real time on the press sort of box monitors, you can talk about was the line even sort of drawn in the right place? And I can tell you there was some sort of debate about that. But, you know, it's just the other thing as well that really annoys me is that we spent nearly 4 minutes, and that's what it was, nearly 4 minutes inside that stadium. And possibly, other than the people on the touchline, the coaching staff and the fourth official, and other than those of us in the press box, I think most of the people inside the ground just did not have a clue what was going on. And that can't be right for people who have paid good money to go and watch a game of football. And it really did as well threaten to change the dynamic of the game. And it could have changed the dynamic of the game. And I think big pat on the back for Sheffield United here, because to spend nearly 4 minutes ambling around in the middle of a pitch, sort of scratching their heads and wondering what was going on, and to go from the elation of scoring an almost immediate equaliser after Son had put Tottenham in the league, to then have that taken away from them, that psychologically could have been a really crushing blow. It certainly, you know, stripped any momentum out of the game that they might have had, because the break went on for so long. But just mentally, that would have been a real, real blow for them. So I think full credit to them for sort of dusting themselves down and managing deservedly to get them back in the game. But it's just a ridiculous situation to be in, I think, this.
Yeah, James, I don't even know if it was a big blow. Of course it is a big blow, but I mean, this is not what we've come to know with the Sheffield United players. As soon as the decision didn't go their way, Chris Wilder straight with a tap underneath the chin up, you know, let's get focused, let's get on it. And I saw that and I was watching the game and I thought, there's no way they're not going to be focused. This is the team that we've come to love, you know. They're well-drilled, they're disciplined unit. They know what's at stake, they know the job in hand, and they're going to be after it. But talking about VAR, James, we have to cover it. And I'll state my position. Obviously, I was a fan of VAR. You know, I think eradicating those clear and obvious errors is what it was labelled, what we believed, then I'm all for it. If there was something that the ref missed, a 5-yard offside or a very obvious foul, and then yes, you know, games shouldn't be won and lost on that. But we're talking about VAR in every instance now. And you mentioned a very valid point, the 3-4 minutes that no one knew. But let's be honest, James, it's 2 days later, we're still arguing about it. It's just overtaken the 3-4 minutes. No one still knows what VAR sees and doesn't see. All the pundits are going, that's a goal. But Sheffield United don't have it. So we're talking about a toe now offside here. And the important factor is we don't have the technology to know where that is. Like 50 frames a second. You know, when have they decided to stop that play, freeze frame that play and draw that line? Was the ball kicked at that 1 second? This isn't in the spirit of the game. And I'm not sure what is the spirit of the game. But are we really talking about a toe now offside? He's clearly, as you can see, dead in line with the players. I mean, it's being lost here, isn't it, James?
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, I'll state my position. As you well know, Charlie, I've never been sort of an advocate of VAR. That's not to say I don't get the argument for it. And I think there have been some very good arguments for it. And I'm not, even though I don't necessarily agree with them, you know, I understand and appreciate why people have wanted to bring it in. Mm. But you're right. And I know there'll be people who disagree with this, but I'm not so sure when it gets that close. When it gets close, you know, when you're effectively talking down to what size boot somebody's probably going to be wearing, that this is what the laws of the game, this is what the offside law was really even brought in to sort of prevent. And I think the big difficulty with it is, and you touched on it there, where you said 2 days on, 3 days on, in 4 days on, people will still be talking about this, and they won't be able to sort of work out whether or not that goal should have stood or not. There'll be differences of opinion. The big problem with this is, I believe, is that what we've done is the human being on a football pitch who's making a decision, the referee, is always going to be a subjective opinion on how sort of a sequence of events have unfolded or what's happened. The problem we've got here with this is, it's still a human being at Stockley Park. So you've just added another layer of sort of subjectivity to the whole process. And, you know, it's really not that scientific. And I think this is where the problems start. You hear managers, you heard it the next day when Liverpool were playing Manchester City. And do you know what? There was even an incident in that game at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium where Lees Moussai was brought down by Eric Dier, had already been booked, wasn't sent off. Then Oliver Norwood commits exactly the same tackle inside the Tottenham Hotspur half rather than inside, you know, sort of the opposition half when Lees Moussai was brought down, gets booked for that. So quite rightly, there's a debate about consistency there. And I get why managers and fans and players get frustrated by that. But adding another sort of human being into the mix, if you get my drift, it just makes that consistency even tougher to get, because there's another sort of, you know, there's somebody else overseeing the way that that game is governed. And I just think this becomes absolutely impossible to deal with. And, you know, listen, I'm sure it'll get slightly better as the season goes on. But I'm not so sure they're ever going to be able to iron out all of the problems that they've got with VAR. And, you know, I just think it boils down to the fact, you know what, ultimately football is about people. And people make mistakes sometimes. And, you know, often I just think, as galling as it might be, I just think we've got to deal with that.
Yeah, I think the mistakes, it sounds strange, but I do agree. I don't think people like to hear it. Mistakes, you know, sometimes are part and parcel of the game. It added to the spectacle of the game. Well, VAR aside, Sheffield United did manage to equalise, did manage to get the points, and we're going to be looking at that goal and everything else from the game next.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
You're listening to the Sheffield United Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm still joined by the legend that is James Shield from the Sheffield Star. We were talking the VAR controversy and drama from the game with Spurs on the weekend. But we did say Sheffield United did manage to get the equaliser, a deserved one, I'm going to say, because, well, they shouldn't have even been 1-0 down. They should have had the other goal. But we've covered that. I'm getting over it just very, very slowly. Let's talk about the goal then from defender George Baldock, James, because what a goal it was. And again, led by VAR, he didn't know whether to celebrate, did he?
No, that's right. And this is what it's coming to, actually.
Ridiculous.
But George made that point afterwards, you know, when we spoke to him in the mix zone. And he said, you know, that's my first Premier League goal. And he said, crikey, it wasn't that long ago. I was playing in the Conference for Tamworth on loan and just sort of, please don't take this moment away from me. So I think in that instance, Graeme Scott, the referee, rather than Jonathan Moss, who was overseeing VAR duties, I think as far as George sort of made us aware, gave him a little nod and said, you know, listen, I think that goal is going to be standing. But I was delighted for George, actually, because as I just said there, you know, he's been on a pretty remarkably sort of, you know, eventful and rapid journey in his career. You know, from being on loan in Iceland and then with Tamworth.
It's incredible, isn't it, James?
Yeah, absolutely superb. And I just wonder if, you know, we're in the international break now. George is obviously sort of, you know, staying back in Sheffield. He's not been sort of called up by by one of his countries. And I say one of his countries because as well as qualifying for England, you know, and I think in fairness he's probably got it all on to get into that side, but he also qualifies for Greece as well. And I just wonder when you look at their Euro 2020 qualifying campaign, if the Greeks might not be sort of well advised to start sending a coaching delegation to Bramall Lane, because I think if that call came, I think it's certainly one that George would accept.
Well, it's interesting to say that our producer, Mike, he did a big fist pump. He said, love to have him. They need a player like that for the Euros. But not only, one thing that me and you haven't mentioned, James, he becomes the latest Sheffield United player to achieve the feat of scoring in all the tiers, hasn't he, in all four divisions. This is no small achievement. I'd love one goal in the Conference South, James.
No, absolutely. You and me both, especially after spending the last few weeks on crutches after a five-a-side accident.
Oh, so James.
I'm not going to be scoring too many goals at the moment. But no, and do you know what? That's a lovely stat as well, because it just goes to show the journey that some of these Sheffield United players have been on. You know, a lot of them have played lower league football and have had to sort of force their way back up the footballing pyramid, as it were, in their careers. And I think not only does that sort of really bring hope to a lot of players who are currently sort of plying their trade in League One and League Two, but I think it just goes to show, A, there's talent in the lower divisions, and I think that's something that's worth thinking about when you look at the challenges that a lot of lower league clubs are facing now. You know, I think that's something that we should really look at and sort of seek to preserve that route through. But a big pat on the back for the players who have made that step up, but also I think a big pat on the back for sort of the recruitment department and also the coaching staff at Bramall Lane for giving them the opportunity and also sort of creating that environment for these players to show that, you know what, a couple of years ago we will have been playing in the Conference, a couple of years ago we were in League One and League Two, but you know what, with the right coaching and the right system and the right structure and the right help, we can go on and we can become really successful top-flight players, because that's exactly what they're doing at the moment.
Yeah, I completely believe that as well. And you mentioned George Baldock, you know, hopefully maybe getting a call-up. Who knows? Greece, England, whoever, we really hope, because he deserves it. It's almost a fairy tale football story there. But another player in international duty, I know he's retired now, but Oliver Norwood, seems like Chris Wilder says, unlikely to make a U-turn on that decision, James.
Yeah, that's exactly the impression that Chris gave us when we spoke to him about it after the game, and sort of indeed before the game as well. And we have sort of sat down with Oliver Norwood over the past couple of weeks and sort of picked his brains on why he did what he did and the decision that he arrived at. I think by and large it came after not an injury hit summer, but a summer where he was having to sort of manage an injury and recover from an operation that had been used to try and sort of repair some damage that he'd been carrying at the end of last season. And he seemed, you know, I think he's disappointed because he was a big, big supporter of Northern Irish football. I know he was very proud to play for Northern Ireland. That came across loud and clear every time we spoke to Ollie before one of the Northern Irish games. But he seemed pretty at peace with the decision he's made. I still wouldn't be at all surprised, though. And I can't speak for Ollie. I don't know what his answer to this would be. But I still wouldn't be at all surprised if Michael O'Neill's successor at the IFA, whoever that is, sort of, you know, possibly after this sort of latest cycle of international fixtures, you know, when we get to the summer, I wouldn't be at all surprised if they tried to sort of get into Ollie's brain and get him to try and reverse that decision to retire from international football. Because if Northern Ireland do get to the Euros, you know, I love watching them. I think they're almost like an international version of Sheffield United, if you get my drift. Sort of relatively unheralded and unglamorous players, but with an awful lot of talent, and are a team who are greater than some of their parts. But I think, you know, with the season that Ollie's having at Premier League level now, I think it's fair to say that they would certainly benefit from a little bit more top-flight experience if they do get to a major finals again.
Yeah, well, James, it's interesting that you mentioned unheralded and the similarities between the two. Two questions, really. One, I'll be surprised if Norwood can be tempted back into it. I want to know why you think differently. But second, after the game, obviously, I always enjoy hearing from Chris Wilder, and he says regardless of that ridiculous decision, I think our Premier League credentials, they were on show now. And if people weren't sure of us before, they should be now. I have to agree in both senses. One, they should have known about them before, but they've caught on now, haven't they, James?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely right. And, you know, I think, you know, we're looking at now, there's a period, an unbeaten run of five games. You don't do that by accident in the Premier League, and, you know, especially if you're a newly promoted club. And there probably will have been some listeners sort of probably chuckling to themselves a little bit when, you know, you and I are talking about the sort of likelihood of George Baldock getting an international call-up. I tell you what, listen, it's, something like that is not as daft as it sounds, because these players now are proving what they can do against some serious opponents, you know, some of the best players plying their trade in England now. And they are where they are on merit. You know, they're fifth in the Premier League. Listen, a lot can happen. There's still an awful lot of football to be played. But what really encourages me, and I've said this before, is that I think they can look back on the start of the season that they've had. And yes, they can be delighted. Yes, they can be really proud. And yes, they can be really optimistic about the future. But, and this is another thing that Chris Wilder touched on after the game in London at Spurs, I think they can also be a little bit disappointed that they haven't collected a few more points. And that, as you know, it may sound critical, but I think that reflects on them so well.
Yeah, James, it's unbelievable, ain't it? You mentioned the fifth in the table, you know, above Arsenal, better goal difference, above Man United, Spurs, who they've played. And in one sense, for the Sheffield United fans, what a start. You know, just promoted, we have to pinch ourselves. But on the other hand, it's utterly, utterly deserved. They deserve to be up there. The league table does not lie. They're fifth, and they're fifth for a good reason, because they've been that good, haven't they, James?
Yeah, they absolutely have. And I think one of the things that, you know, I personally don't think it's any coincidence either. And I did a column on this in the paper up here recently. I don't think it's any surprise that they've gone on this run as well. Let's talk about another international player here. One who, you know, had lost his way at international level, wasn't being picked and selected. And credit to Mick McCarthy for doing this with the Republic of Ireland. He obviously is a player that he knows really well. But David McGoldrick, and I don't think that's Sheffield United going on that run. It coincides with his return from injury. And we've mentioned it in the past, as well as they were playing and as good as results as they were getting, I think in a couple of games they had sort of looked, predictable is too strong a word, but they'd looked a little bit more predictable than they usually do with the way that they play. Since David McGoldrick has come back into that starting 11, and it was telling that Chris Wilder put him straight back into it as well. You know, yes, okay, the guy's goal scoring record at the top flight isn't great, but I think it's important to look at what he brings rather than what he doesn't bring. And I just think, you speak to all the other players at that club, you know, they all love playing alongside him, especially the forwards. They'll all tell you what he brings to the team, how clever he is, how intelligent he is, how much space he creates for others. And some of his technical play in that game at Spurs was an absolute joy to behold. And he didn't look out of place on that pitch. And I just think he brings so much to that team. And it's players like David McGoldrick. It's players like Oliver Norwood. They've got a really good work ethic at that football club. They're really well organised. And as I said earlier, they are a team in the true sense of the word. But it's people like David McGoldrick who just had a sort of just almost put a real veneer of quality over all the work that they do. And as I say, I don't think it's any surprise that possibly their best period of the season so far has coincided with him coming back to fitness.
Yeah, well, Sheffield United, he doesn't look out of place, and neither does Sheffield United, fifth in the Premier League. James, I'm delighted, as I always am on a Sheffield United fan show, but I'm delighted to be back talking to you. Such a pleasure. James Shield there from the Sheffield Star on the Sheffield United fan show right here on Love Sport Radio. They are flying high, fifth in the Premier League, no game on the weekend, but we'll be back next week to cover it all, as we always are every Tuesday, 10:30 to 11, right here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.